This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
DH'd a little bit with Texas 4 years ago. Bart sends one out to deep center field. Ciani back to the wall. There it goes. Home run for Joey Bart to the deepest part of this ballpark, and the Pirates establish a 1-0 lead on the homer by Bart.
Pitchers hit.
1-2 is lined over second and into right center, a base hit. That scores Kiner Falefa. Key Brian Hayes with a two-out RBI single, and the Bucks are up 4-0 on St. Louis. John King getting up in a hurry, a lefty in the Cardinals' pen. 3-2 coming. Swing, fly ball toward the gap in left center field. This one's down for a hit. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Kiner Falefa's in to score. Hayes behind him. He'll score. Andrew McCutchen with a two-run double. Pirates up 6-2 in the seventh. Here's the set and the pitch. Swing and a miss, struck him out. Three strikeouts in the ninth for Thomas Harrington. He earns his first major league save. Carmen Majinski wins it, going five strong tonight. And what an all-around win for the Pirates over the Cardinals. 8-4 the final.
I was texting with our good pal Neil Walker last night, who was on the radio broadcast. And it was 4-0 Bucks, and he said, hey, 9 o'clock tomorrow I'm coming on. I said, that'd be great, Neil. It'd be our pleasure to have you on. And he said, we should be talking about a winning streak. I said, Neil, you're only up 4-0 with the world's worst bullpen. But you know what? It never felt in doubt. It was a wire-to-wire comfortable win for your Pittsburgh Pirates, who have all of a sudden won two in a row. And tonight you get Paul Skeens on the bump. Tomorrow you get Mitch Keller on the bump. You got a chance here. I wouldn't even say to turn the season around. It's still so early, but you got a chance here to win a series and get things going and pointed in the right direction, Doran. You got it set up. Yesterday was the game. Uh-oh, what are you going to get from Majinski? Are they really going to do the piggyback thing with Thomas Harrington? But you figured if they won that game and you got your two studs on the mound back-to-back, all right. All right, the sun is starting to come up in Pirate Land, perhaps, Mr. Dickerson.
Yeah, and you're also taking advantage of a bad schedule for the St. Louis Cardinals, and that's the way to do it. Like, you have to find wins whenever teams are vulnerable, and, you know, them coming off of, what, a doubleheader, and then having to fly right to Pittsburgh, getting in at 3-4 a.m., and then having to turn around and play at 6:40 yesterday, and then having to play at 6:40 again today. So you're taking advantage of that, and you know what? Guys are hitting the baseball.
Yeah, they are.
Not just one guy, not just two guys, but guys are hitting the baseball. But I said this to you before the show. I was like, they don't get the benefit of the doubt for me. You know, whenever a team like the Yankees, they start out slow, or they're in a rut, or they're trying to knock some rust off, you know that they're going to come through and they're going to be a good team at some point. Like, this team last year didn't prove to us towards the latter half of the year that they could be that team heading into this year. And obviously, they started the way that they did this year, so they didn't get the benefit of the doubt of like, oh, it's just rust. Oh, it's just nerves. Oh, it's just the start of the season. They'll figure it out. I still don't know if they'll figure it out. None of us do. But, I mean, looking for positives, and that's what we try to do on the show. Yesterday was a very positive sign that it was a consistent effort across the board from everybody to win that game in the fashion that they did by four runs.
And there are some reasons not to dance in the streets, not to plan a parade, but there are some reasons for optimism, which we'll get to. But I want to stop and address a point you just made because I think it's a good one. They could sweep St. Louis and win 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati, and that'd be great, and I think we'd be happy. We would be happy. Hooray. It doesn't mean that the opener shouldn't have been what it was. And it doesn't mean that the reaction from the start of the season shouldn't have been what it was. When you do nothing of substance over the offseason and you start out losing baseball games the way that you were losing baseball games last August and September, the anger, the vitriol, the reaction was absolutely fair. And even if they turn it around in the early going, I don't think anybody should expect this team to be in contention in September unless they're giving you legitimate reasons to believe that they can be in contention. Mm-hmm. Then. So we're not going to do the roller coaster thing here. They got me 2 years ago when they were 20-8. I mean, when you start 20-8, it's hard to finish below 500. And they did.
Yep.
And last year, through 107 games, they were a pretty good baseball team, and they collapsed. So I think we're all collectively going to need to see more than 100 games of good baseball to believe that they can really be a good baseball team. And I think all of that is fair. Now, there are some reasons for optimism. And one of them, and you brought this up before the show too, is Ke Bryan Hayes. He goes 1-for-3 yesterday. He walks. He's hitting .263. He's got an OPS in the mid-700s. He's hitting the ball the other way with authority. He looks like the best version of Ke Bryan Hayes. And you always worry. I know every time he's up at the plate and he takes a hard hack or he makes a play in the field, like the bare hander he made the other night against the Yankees, I worry that he's going to throw the back out.
Yep.
I do. And I think that's just going to be the way it is with Ke Bryan Hayes. The more we watch the guy, the better he plays. We're going to be thinking, oh my God, like we'll have our fingers crossed every time he makes a play. But so far, so great, really, with the guy. We've always said he plays defense at such a high level that all he needs to do is be an above average hitter. And that's going to be a +3/+4 war guy. Like, he's a super valuable piece if he can hit the baseball at all. Well, he's hitting the baseball right now, and it's good to see.
It is good to see. And, you know, you have some injuries that you're dealing with in your lineup, and you need a guy like that to be consistent. You know, Andrew McCutchen hitting the ball. Obviously, O'Neill Cruz, I don't think he had a hit yesterday, but he's been hitting the ball decent. He had Joey Bart with a home run, as you said.
And a triple.
Andy Rodriguez is bad, starting to come around. So, like, I mean, it's very positive that, you know, they could put this together, especially with what the weather was like yesterday, the elements. But can you do it consistently? You know, for these, what, next 5 games? Can you do it consistently? Because you need to.
Yes.
You need to.
Yeah, you have an opportunity here. And we talk about not buying in or getting head over heels in love with this baseball team until there is a substantial amount of evidence that they're good. But that doesn't mean that the next 2 game of these series and the following series against Cincinnati aren't important, because you can't get to that point later in the year if you gack up this series and you don't play well in Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not good. As much as we have lamented the start that the Pirates have had, Cincinnati goes out, hires a great manager this offseason, who I wish was on the bench for the Buccos. I think I speak for you whenever I say that. And they had a ton of hype coming in. They haven't been able to score runs. So as negative as it's been around here, it's been negative in Cincinnati too. Find a way to win this series. It'd be great if you could sweep with your 2 best guys going these next 2 days. And then go and look like a functional baseball team and get a series win in Cincinnati. And then you can start getting into this thing.
Yeah.
But I said it before even the Yankees series. Pirates came in hitting 176, 196, something like that. They weren't going to be that bad all year. Doesn't mean it's going to be a great hitting baseball team. It won't be. Like, I can't polish the turd that much. It's not going to be a team that scores a bunch of runs. Bob Walk said that yesterday. Like, you need some confidence. Get to hitting the baseball. Not that they're going to turn it into the Yankees, But can you be an average or slightly below average hitting baseball team? If you are with this rotation, you got a shot to win some games here. But it's the guys you're talking about. Joey Bart hadn't had a good start to the season.
Right.
He hammered the baseball twice yesterday.
Yep.
Andrew McCutchen. This isn't a guy who's been here now going on 3 years in his second stint who's here only to sell tickets. He's not. He's a good baseball player. And on this team, relative to everybody else, he's a great baseball player. He looks like the Cutch of old right now. So that's good. He'll probably slow down a little bit. Isaiah Kiner-Fluff has hit the cover off the baseball. He's probably going to slow down a little bit. But Andy Rodriguez is a pedigree guy. Joey Bart was really good for you last year. And you finally got the key Brian Hayes, who this is who the guy's been when he's been healthy. Like, they have people who aren't great baseball players who have hit the ball much better in their career, who these last couple of games have started to do that. And if you get that with this pitching, you're going to be okay. Not great, but you're going to be okay.
Something of significance yesterday, just a little bit of significance. They did that yesterday without Brian Reynolds in the lineup. And Brian Reynolds, I mean, that's something that they're not familiar with. I mean, Brian Reynolds, I mean, how many games did he play last year? It was very rare whenever he wasn't in the lineup at all. You know, he's been injured to start the season, and they moved him to DH to keep him in the lineup, keep his bat in the lineup. And yesterday, they're like, all right, we're going to sit you. They haven't done that with him. I don't know, since he's been a Pirate.
Yeah, he played 158 games or something like that.
He never sits this early.
No.
Not, I mean, and they did that without him in the lineup, which is a little bit of significance that I will credit them to.
Yeah, it was nice. And good on Liberatore for St. Louis to get through as many innings as he got through, because it was looking early, man. Like, a team that's bullpen got ravaged by the Red Sox, like it was going to happen again. They only used three pitchers yesterday. So last year, Brian Reynolds played 156 games. Yeah, you don't see him out of the lineup. So obviously he's a little nicked up and he can't play the field, and they're going to see how long that takes. But good on them for getting McCutchen in there too, because McCutchen's been one of the few guys who's been swinging the bat consistently. Here's a text at 412-928-9370. You guys were just talking about fans not attending yesterday, LOL. Now you're speaking about optimism. This is why Bob Nutting wins. How many qualifiers did I have to put on this? Like, they've won two in a row. We're not celebrating the streets. That's one thing I said. I said we also need to see a sample size bigger than 100 games. But we're going to talk about the damn game we saw the night before. That's what we're going to do. We had a baseball game last night. They scored 8 runs. They won the game. You got your two horses on the mound these next couple of games. Like, we're going to talk about a team that's not out of it because it's only 11 games in. Just everyone relax. Also, we will get into the attendance from yesterday coming up next, because there were damn no people in the ballpark. And I'm interested in what it looks like tonight for Skeens' first home start when it's going to be 35 degrees and it's a Tuesday night. I am really interested to see how many people are at the ballpark and what that Skeens factor is. Because actually, the weather is going to be worse today than it was yesterday.
Yes, way worse, actually.
And so we'll get into this, but if there's 22,000 people there, if there's 19,000 people there, we're talking about a 12,000 person schemed bump. And I think that's interesting. So we'll get into that. You can give us a ring, 412-928-9370. The fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Like that texter, you can get in line on that text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Just how low was the attendance last night? We'll tell you next. What's it all mean?
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure.
Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. So I'm in the For You tab during the break, Doran.
Oh, no.
And you get one of these threads. It says, 7 signs a girl likes you but can't tell you. What has become of society?
Oh.
If you're learning that...
Mind warps.
Seriously, man. If you need the help of a Twitter thread to find out if a lady is interested in you, you've already lost the battle.
You have.
It's over for you. But here are the 7 signs. Just kidding. So last night, Buccos win 8-4. Felt good. Wire to wire. A comfortable victory. 8,250 people, the paid attendance. And look, I don't think there were 8,250 people there. It was a friends and family crowd.
Yes.
I do have to laugh that there were like 6 people there and one of them interfered with a baseball.
Oh, really? I didn't see that part.
Joey Bart hit a triple. Some kid reached over the center field wall and it hit the glove. Also funny is St. Louis challenged it for fan interference. They got to keep the challenge because they ruled that there was fan interference, but then they changed nothing about the play because, my God, their center fielder wasn't going to do anything with the baseball.
If there was fan interference, what's the penalty?
Depending on the level of interference. Double? So what I think should have happened is it was Joey Bart's triple. They should have had him go back to second base, okay, because obviously it's going to affect the play in some form or fashion. But they said, nah, there's fan interference. You can still be at third, and McCutchen, you still scored. Because the center fielder wasn't going to catch the ball, and if it didn't hit the kid's glove, it was still going to careen past the center fielder, and Bart was going to be there regardless. Kind of a goofy one.
Huh.
But there were 0 people there, and yet the one kid who was winds up getting his hands on a baseball in play. I do wonder what it's going to look like with Skeens. 8,250 people paid for tickets last night. We're going to get a side-by-side look and see just how much Skeens is worth at the box office. And I'm guessing that there are going to be a lot of people there tonight. Like, a lot relative to a normal Tuesday freezing cold April game. I bet you there's 20,000 people there.
Yeah, I was going to say double.
Yeah.
16,000.
Yeah.
I bet you he brings in at least 8,000 people to come watch him pitch against St. Louis. Even though it's cold, bundle up.
I mean, they've told us for a while now who was going to be pitching this series. So you might have, I think you might have 20,000 seats sold.
Right.
I don't know that you're going to have 20,000 people that show up.
Right.
Like, if you were planning on taking your kids and it's going to be, I think, 35 degrees at first pitch, maybe you think better of it. But I do think there's going to be a considerable, at least announced attendance for this game. People yesterday, they got all hot and bothered when I said that a boycott's not going to work and that not going to games isn't going to move the needle for the ownership. And I think last night is proof of that. We have these games all the time at PNC Park where it's a not warm Monday in April and nobody goes. And you'll see that up through May. And the Pirates, they've had to deal with this for 20-ish, if not more, years. We don't go early in the season. And if they're not good, we only go later in the season when it's like bobblehead night. Or Styx is playing. Or
fireworks.
Fireworks or t-shirt night. And the Pirates do a good job of stuff like that with the promotions because they understand. But people say, oh, you got to boycott. We do. Every April and May.
Yes.
Last night was an example of that. It just is what it is. And that blows, but that's just a reality. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Advice for the people out there. I'm not telling you this is going to happen, but here's some advice for the people out there. I'm taking Skeens and I'm going over on strikeouts, whatever that number is, and I'm going under total runs in the game. I mean, you got Gray on the mound for St. Louis. He didn't have a good first start, but he's a pretty tough customer. And Paul Skeens in this weather is going to eat people alive.
Yeah, I would go over strikeouts for Skeens, Pirates money line, and then under, which I think is 6.5.
Oh. 6.5 feels pretty good to me.
Yeah, it might be like a 3-1 game. I think the Pirates won.
Yes. And their bullpen's rested. Now, how good is that? I don't know. It just means that guys you can't trust are now going to be rested, but you had Majinski pitch really well yesterday. Really well yesterday. I'm happy for him because he's got good stuff, and I think he's being miscast as a starter, but yesterday would prove the opposite, I guess. I mean, he pitched really well. And then Harrington goes in, and 4 innings, gets the save. First time that a Pirate has got a 4-inning save since 1998 against the Montreal Expos. It's always good when you haven't done something since a team got relocated. So that was cool. And he struck out the side in the ninth inning. I worry about the stuff. We were talking about that prior to the show. Like, he has to be pinpoint with his control, and he gave up a homer to a career minor leaguer, which isn't something you want to see. Definitely better this time around from Harrington than the last time.
Which is expected. I mean, a lot of nerves that first time. That was tough.
And if they're gonna do the Majinski-Harrington thing, I don't mind that. That way Harrington's getting an opportunity to pitch just about every fifth day. And Majinski is, he's dirty the first time through a lineup. And in this game, he was dirty even beyond that. I don't mind. I don't mind that. I don't think that's bad. I don't think that's bad process. I think that's pretty good process, actually. So credit goes to those guys for getting it done. And you only use two pitchers in a game before you get Skeens and Keller going back to back. You're set up for success in this series. And you better win the damn series, at the very least.
At the very least.
At the very least, win one of these two. But if you could sweep them, I don't want to put the cart before the horse.
Here we go.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting overly optimistic about this team at any point.
It's going to be tempting. It's probably going to be tempting. You could just tell by the way that they played yesterday. And they played on Sunday. That it's going to be tempting for us to start that roller coaster ride.
Because all it takes is a few days where you get the bats out.
Yep.
And the rotation, save for a couple of dudes, has been good. Like Keller's second start, not good. Okay, it's the Yankees. But the guys you thought would pitch well in the rotation they're going to pitch well. They are. So all you need to do is hit the ball a little bit, and you should be decent. Texter, you guys are out of your mind thinking people will be there in 35-degree weather for a game, for the 12th game of the season, LMAO. I just think that's what's fascinating. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think that people will show up for Skeens, like your mailman. Sleet, snow, whatever. You want to watch the Pirates. Opening day's a must. And anytime Skeens gets the ball, I think you're going to see a little bit of a bump there. I'm just wondering how much it's worth. Are you planning on going? How about that question? 412-928-9370. I mean, it's not like we don't go to Steeler games when it's 35 degrees.
I know, right?
Paul Skeen can be a damn all-star again. 412-928-9370. Someone else texts him and says, I don't know that this is a good baseball team. I've seen this too many times before. But if the Pirates are around 500 when Jones gets back, I'm going to get excited and then let down again.
Yep.
I can see that.
Yep.
I can see a lot of people falling for that. I'm not going to let it happen. You can't let it happen to me. Don't let me do it.
It's definitely going to happen. You're definitely going to do it.
Because, okay, so the lineup to start the season, not good, right? But because we've seen what it looks like, even when your depth is challenged a little bit, how nice does this sound if and when they get healthy? Hayes leads off, Reynolds, Kutch, Cruz, Bart, Horowitz, Gonzalez, I guess Sawinski, and then IKF. It's okay.
It's not bad.
It's all right. It's okay.
We'll see.
We'll see. Don't let me do the thing.
I won't. I promise.
Don't let me do the thing. I got to look and see what the over-under total is for the Skeen strikeouts. Or did you say that already?
No, I said the over-under for the game was 6.5. I bet you Skeen's is 8.
Yeah, he was plus money to get to 8, but minus money through 7 strikeouts in his second start, which is just, it's insane. And he goes 7 innings, gives up 1 unearned run. I was like, I didn't pitch that well. Really? What? All right, coming up next. There's been a lot of ire pointed at Pirates ownership, and for good reason. It might not all be his fault. I'm nervous. So Noah Hyles and Dejan Kovacevic were getting into it on Twitter last night, huh?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Missed that.
Through the magic of the new version of Twitter, known as X, you can now view things that you previously couldn't. Like, Dejan blocked me a long time ago, and now if I really want to, I can click on the post and I can see them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were getting into it, Noah Hyles and DK, and I just want to state for the record, I am backing Noah Hyles 100% here.
Yes.
100% here. So DK wrote the piece about the Pirates and that they're losing $2 million. Well, then somebody else did a piece yesterday showing the work, doing the math, and coming to a different conclusion. And what Noah Hyles did was retweet it and say, this is really good. This isn't comprehensive illustration of what's actually going on with the Pirates. And then I guess DK responded to that, and Noah said, well, let's see if the pregame show winds up having this Ethan Cat on to talk about it, because that's what they did with DK.
Right.
Got under DK's skin a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit. A
little bit there.
A little bit. And the fact that, you know, Noah used to work for DK, and so has like 1,000 other people that have left and haven't said good things about him. And
that's right.
Yeah, he's mad.
That's right.
Like always.
That's right.
Yeah.
He follows me on X. Is that good?
He follows everybody.
He follows everybody.
It's part of the game.
Should I block him?
No.
Do what you will.
For what?
I support Noah.
You don't need to block him. It's not like you interact with the guy.
Callis is like, solidarity!
Yes.
I love Noah Hyles. Block! All right. So, the subject of the Pirates' finances has always been discussed around here, and for obvious reason. We would think when the team wins, or when the team gets close to winning, or when the team has a generational player at the top of the rotation that could help you win playoff series, that they would spend money. Well, we had also heard this offseason that Bob Nutting doesn't necessarily trust Ben Cherington's judgment, which begs an obvious question. Why would the guy come back for year 6? But Dan Zangrilli was talking yesterday with the PM guys, and I thought this was really interesting, about where some of this money is going. So Bob Nutting cuts a check, and I'm just going to say it right now. Whatever the check is ain't big enough, right? Go win baseball games. By hook or by crook, go win baseball games. And if you need to spend and you need to be in the red a little bit to win ball games so that you could eventually make money, that should be what you do. But Zangrilli says, oh, they're spending some money. You just might not like where they're spending it.
Huh. Have your budget. You know what your budget's going to be. Probably, as you guys were discussing, commensurate to other teams in similar market sizes. I don't believe he micromanages it the way that maybe some other owners do. Basically, here's your baseball operations budget. Do with it what you will, whether that is you go out and use it on players that will impact the major league roster, or do you overspend in R&D, right? We hear that, R&D, research and development.
Oh, you love to hear that, doing a little research and development. So basically what he's saying, and I listened to the whole interview, we can't cut the whole thing up, is Bob Nutting cuts a check. Here's what you can spend on baseball operations. You're Ben Cherington. You do with it as you see fit. And Ben has spent a lot on this research and development portion. And my question is, because I think this really cuts to the heart of it. Is that what he did this offseason? Or is this something that's been in place for 3 or 4 years? Because 3 or 4 years ago, when you're in the middle of the rebuild, or supposedly should be in the middle of the rebuild, and you want to pour resources into research and development so that players can come to your facilities in the Dominican, and then you get them in the organization, and they become great players for you. Okay, fair enough. All small market teams should be doing that. But if this offseason there was a check cut, and now all these new jobs are created, Ben, what the hell are you doing, man? You are on the hot seat. That's not gonna bear fruit for over half a decade. That's a total misallocation of resources.
I mean, I just have never have heard of an owner or somebody running a business to cut a check and say, you know, spend it like you need to or where you need to. Usually in business, if a check is cut, it's allocated to the different sectors of the company. Marketing budget. Salary cap, things that, you know, equipment, performance, nutrition. Like, there's budgets for every single area of the business, not just one big check and to rely on somebody to say,
you go spend it.
Yeah, that never happened. I've never heard of something like that. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm caught up at. I know you're in the, like, all right here and now, like, what did you do with that money this season? And that I understand where you're coming from. But I've never heard of an owner of a business saying, all right, I'm going to hand it to the person that is managing my business and say, go spend it where you think we need it to be spent.
Yeah.
It's usually, all right, this money, this portion of it is for this.
Yeah, here's payroll. Here's right. Development. What? They should be separate buckets.
Unless I'm missing something here.
Look.
That's what it sounds like.
Oh, I think that's a legit point by you. And that's why I'm not giving the owner cover here. I'm not. But overall, it's just not going to the right spot.
Right.
It's just not going to the right spot. Whomever's fault that is, it ain't going to the right spot. And if that's what happened this offseason, that's a horrendous use of funds. Horrendous. You're close. You are close. People can quibble with that all they want. They were over 500 and in the playoff race 107 games into the season last year. They were. You need a bat or two with this rotation, and you can do just that and more. And you're going to put the money into research and development. And
that's
Zane Grilly went on, man, to talk about some of the things, some of these positions that were created that, and Dan prides himself on knowing all this stuff. He's like, I don't even know what the hell that means or what the end game is on that. And here's what I think takes this story to another level is what Bob Nutting said to Noah Hyles before the home opener, where he said, I think I've done everything that I can to provide the tools and resources to the team. There's a point where it becomes execution. That's why you play the season. That's why you play the games. Now, whether or not that's true relative to his peers in Major League Baseball, we can look at the facts and we can determine that on our own. What that tells me, though, is Ben Cherington's in the jackpot. Derek Shelton's in the jackpot. Now, you better win this year, or those guys got to go. If this is the quote that comes out of ownership, those guys are absolutely on the hot seat. Absolutely. And I know they've won 2 games in a row, and they got Skeens, and they got Keller going the next 2. Hey, I'm open to this thing turning around. And I would love, more than anything else, for this thing to turn around. But when the owner says, I've given you all the resources, and you're sitting there at your opener, what were they, 2-6, 2-5, whatever it was, he's putting those guys on notice. And then you hear what Zane Grilly said yesterday, and I'm just connecting some dots here. They don't win, Charrington's out. And I've long thought they don't win, Shelton's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Shelton, I guess, could happen mid-season, depending on how bad things get. I don't think Sherrington would happen until the end of the year. But, man, Ben, buddy, if you are charged with winning, and this is what the owner is saying, and you're allocating the funds to stuff that ain't going to help you for 6 years, ain't going to save your job. This ain't going to save the job.
I'm trying to think of the reasoning behind it, if that is the case, if that is, you know, allegedly where he is spending the money. You know, only thing that I could come to is that he's trying to protect his ass for the next job, just in case he does get fired. And that it's like a resume builder. Like, look, I allocated money to rebuild, to develop. This is what I can offer for my next job. Like, I don't know.
And the great sin of his tenure has not been the pitching. Like, they've built that, they've drafted that, they've developed there, they've done a good job.
They haven't, yeah.
But, I mean, that's where they've been good, on the pitching side.
Right.
They haven't developed a damn hit, right. Not one.
Yeah, right.
Not one.
That's bizarre, though, man. Like, honestly, like, how do you not know where your funds are going? That's a question I have. Like, how do you know? You're the right. owner, and you don't know where your funds are going. Shouldn't it be allocated in every single department of your business, and you should know exactly how much money is being allocated there and spent there, and what the price should be for players, should be for equipment, should be for new, like, it's just bizarre.
Every box you would think you would know.
You would know. You should know.
Texter, ultimately that falls on ownership, so how is it not his fault? No one's saying it's not his fault. We're just sussing through the thing. And you're saying he should know where every dollar and cent's being spent.
He should know where every dollar and cent's being spent. So, like, that's you know, an X right there. And then whatever dollar and cents are being spent on things that don't really add to the product of winning, that is an X right there. So it's kind of like two sides of it that are
right.
messing up.
Now, the way Dan Zangrilli was talking makes me feel like, at least from his perspective, that's like a Penguins Dubas thing going on. Where Dubas, you're doing it all. Like, we bought the team, you run the thing. You run the whole damn thing.
That's how it feels, yeah.
And if that's true.
And a Mike Tomlin type deal.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if that's what is happening, Ben Sherrington has done a terrible job. And frankly, if that's not what's happening, he's still not doing a good job. Because
right.
it's year six and you're 10 games under 500 the last 2 years. Unless they have a winning season, I think both guys are going to be out. It all starts tonight with Paul Skeens on the mound for the Buccos. Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Are you going to go freeze your ass off to watch Paul Skeens pitch tonight? 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Jeff Hathorn going to join us at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Someone texts in, no, the Pirates are not close. Not even close. Of course they are. Of course they are. But in order to bridge that gap, you need to spend, and you need to spend on payroll, and they didn't. So you're looking at likely 76 and 86 again. Like, right. And really, we're trying to get into the nitty-gritty and the nuances of it in the last segment. But whether it's Charrington's fault or Nutting's fault, the reality is they're spending money on things that they think will help in the long run that aren't going to help this major league club this year and probably not for the next 4 or 5 years. And so, again, whoever's fault that is, it doesn't matter. It's just that...
bad process.
It's bad process.
All around.
Yes.
Organizational. Like, I mean, I can't put it together that you're not on the same page with the people that are running your business. Like, who's telling the truth here? Like, where's the truth lie?
It's like if my daughter is opening up a lemonade stand and I hand her $10, like,
she's probably gonna keep.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm gonna tell her how to spend it. Like, here's what lemons cost.
Right. Or she's gonna go buy some Barbies or something. Right.
Exactly.
Like, you know. Like,
exactly. Or half a Barbie. However, I mean, I'm sure Barbies
right.
ain't cheap.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
I was just thinking, what do you need for a lemonade stand? Oh, lemons. Some sugar.
Some sugar, water. Hey, you need a pitcher.
Yeah.
Cups.
Mm-hmm.
A stand. You got to build a stand or, you know,
paint. Do you feel bad when you drive by kids doing the lemonade stand and you don't stop?
Yeah, but no. Yeah.
I always give them a beep and a wave.
Yeah.
Like, hey, kids.
I also don't want to get out of my car and it looks all weird.
Do you take Diners Club? Like, I mean, do you take credit cards?
Right.
Do you got Apple Pay? I ain't got cash. I ain't got 50 cents to give you for your little lemonade juice.
I usually give them a couple bucks, but not even take. But just take them. Here you go.
I don't need the lemonade.
Yeah, I'm good. Who knows where that?
All due respect.
Right.
I mean, I know our kids get sick every other day.
Right. I'm like, here.
Daycare.
I respect school. The hustle.
Yes.
I respect it.
Yeah, it teaches you about money managing and being an entrepreneur and
talking to people.
Yes.
You know,
people skills, which I think are absolutely lacking in today's society. Sure.
Yep.
Did you ever do one as a kid?
Yeah. Me but too. it was like more pop. It was like the leftover pop like my parents had from like an event, and I like put it out in front of my driveway.
So you'd be selling like flat ginger ale. Coke.
Yeah, ginger ale. Like old like cherry Coke.
There is something nice about a glass of lemonade on a hot summer day.
Oh, it's so good.
Iced tea, you an iced tea guy?
Yeah. Arnold Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Give it to me. Yes.
Oh, I do love an Arnold Palmer.
So good.
I like the spiked ones, too, that they sell.
Yeah. I can't drink the spiked ones because I like the regular ones too much, and every time I drink a regular one, I don't want it to taste like it's spiked, and like I can't like separate them.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So I just keep it
There's
regular.
Something wholesome about,
yes.
You know, you cut the grass, and you come back in, and I'm not having a cold one. I'm having an Arnold Palmer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Masters week, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which we'll get into. We got Bostic with us on Thursday. He's a big golf freak.
Yes, he is.
So we'll get in all that.
I know everything.
Pimento cheese sandwiches.
Yes.
I have a buddy who makes them every year, the pimento cheese sandwiches. He's a freak.
Do you like them?
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, they're fine. They stick to the roof of your mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.